this is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother, like, solid, right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Good morning, G. Calvin, my friend. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Earl. How was your weekend?
Oh, man, it was, you know, Saturday. Man, I didn't leave the house the whole day. And I can't remember the last time I ever spent 24 hours anywhere without leaving. Do you, have you done that?
Probably more often than I'm proud to admit.
Man, no, man. I did not leave my house on Saturday, and it was so strange. I did some cleaning. So, I mean, it wasn't like I wasn't productive at all. But I didn't do anything, man. And I'm a really busy person by choice. But to actually spend an entire 24 hours, you know, in the house, doing some cleaning. But, man, you know, nothing of consequence, was just strange. And, you know, as the weather warms up, I'm sure it'll be a long time before I ever get back to that kind of way again. That's really strange. Anyway, Calvin, it's 19 degrees, man.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to get up into the 40s today, though.
Yeah, man. You know, I've noticed. Have you noticed it's getting lighter, right? When
yes,
you leave
definitely.
Your house. A month and a half ago, 2 months ago, you left your house. It was in darkness, right? Yeah. And now you see, and it is, you see the change. Change she is a coming. Look, February 19th, and we're just about done with February. March, you know, and, you know, if March plays out like January and February played out, man, we're in like Flint.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, man, I really can't see March reverting back to what March normally is if January and February didn't play out that way. Maybe Calvin is wishful thinking.
Yeah, maybe. Well, at least we definitely need some rain, though, to go into the spring and summer. So hopefully maybe we at least get that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not like we're so far behind because we're about average with snowfall. Do you think we're average with snowfall? Check that out.
I'll look into it.
Yeah, because I think we're not far behind. And if we had average snowfall, it means that, you know, the runoff and the melting of that snow will kind of put us in a good position going into the spring, especially for vegetation and all those things. But anyway, I got a lot to talk about this morning. We're going to, you know, spend some time talking about a plethora of things, kind of strange things for this show. But I think sometimes, you know, we need to lighten up a little bit. So we're going to lighten up a little bit for today's show. And I'm going to talk some a little bit about, you know, what foods you can eat, you know, after expiration dates. Calvin. So food has expiration dates on them. And I don't know, my wife and I throw out anything that's, you know, after the expiration date. You know, when you go up in your cabinets and you look around and you see that stuff in there in my freezer, I know has meats that clearly, I think I might clean it out maybe twice a year, you know, but it's got to be close to that time. haven't done that for 5 or 6 months, so you know you got stuff in there you got to get rid of. You clean out your cabinets and you got stuff in there that, you know, you have to get rid of. And then you kind of wonder, man, why did I buy all of that stuff, right? You know, why have a freezer full of food and you don't get back to the freezer, you know? And so you wind up looking at all that money that you spent on meat, if you're a meat eater, and it's quite expensive. And you look at the date. I'm not talking about the freezer on your refrigerator. I'm talking about your freezer in your basement or your garage or wherever you keep that. But hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Some about us, man, we hoard stuff. And food is one of those things, if you're fortunate enough to be able to do that. I know it's not the case for so many people as much today. We're going to talk about random acts of kindness, partial memory loss, compassion, and all kind of other things. But Calvin, we're going to start the show off with a subject that everybody's probably going to have a great time with, including you. Hey, Calvin, how often should you wash your sheets?
You should probably do it every week, but we'll say twice a month.
Twice a month?
How much are you supposed to?
Well, I said twice a week, but you started off close.
Twice your bed sheets twice a week?
Well, that's what this article says.
Wow, ain't nobody got time for that.
So why do you think you need to wash your sheets? Well, what's the purpose and the rationale and the reason that they say you need to wash them so often?
Well, you got to get the dead skin and that kind of stuff out of them.
Man, how do you know all that stuff, man? I didn't know that stuff before I started reading this. Well, you're a college graduate. They probably taught you that stuff in college. How did you know that?
I'm not sure. I guess I just heard it somewhere.
Yeah, well, you heard it. You're right. Dead skin, man. When we don't realize that, according to Dr. Vijay, the average person sheds 1.5 grams of skin because it's largely made up of protein daily. I don't know what 0.5 gram of skin looks like, but it sounds pretty, you know, strange. That's almost 1/2 teaspoonful of dead skin. If you add that up over 2 weeks, that's quite a bit. Bacteria. When dead skin cells are left to rest in your sheets, bacteria thrive. These skin cells act as a breeding ground for bacteria to make themselves at home on your sheets, mattress, and pillows. Bacteria love skin so much that there are actually more bacteria organisms in our bodies than our own cells. Dr. Vijay says, and the skin is one of bacteria's most commonly inhabited areas. Here's another reason why it's important that we do this. Dust mites are too small to be seen by the naked eye, but they live on every continent on Earth except Antarctica. These thinly, tiny, eight-legged critters are relatives of the spider, and they feed on dead skin cells. Your dead skin cells. And maybe everybody's getting up out of bed and taking those sheets and throwing them into the washing machine. As many as 1 million dust mites can feast on dead skin you produce in a mere day. As many as 1 million dust mites. Man, I don't think I'm going to go to bed anymore. They don't bite like bed bugs do. In fact, they don't even have teeth or mouths, and they don't burrow under your skin like scabies do. But they can still cause you some unwanted health issues. More about that later. Now, pet dander and more. Now, I know that a lot of people, you know, their dogs are in their beds, and some people let dogs and cats sleep with them, and maybe they don't realize it, but when you do that, You know, dogs shed a lot of skin. If your cat or dog sleep in your bed, take note. Your four-legged friends are also harbors for fungal organisms that can cause skin issues in humans. These include simple infections like ringworm, as well as more aggressive infestations such as scabies, which are caused by mites that can live on dogs and be transmitted to people. There are a number of parasites as well that can be transmitted to you through your sheets. Now, you know, what else is in bed with you? Body fluids. The average person produces 26 gallons of sweat. Hey, man. This is some frightening stuff, man. The average person produces 26 gallons of sweat in bed every year. And don't forget about other fluids like oil and saliva, beauty products. Even if you wash your face at night, you can still bring bits of makeup, lotions, and more into bed, crumbs. If you eat in bed, and sometimes even if you don't, you can bring little bits of food into sheets with you at night. Other pet-related germs, in addition to dander and mites, your pets can track things into bed on their paws, including feces, litter, and dirt from outdoors. All of these give bacteria more excuses to survive and thrive, all while you're getting a good night's sleep in the midst. So, when I get home, I'll be washing my sheet. You know, and the thing is, we've got sheets, right? I mean, it's not like you only have one sheet, you know? And we've got enough sheets, but I'll be changing my sheets even more now. Never even thought about those things. But, you know, those are the kind of things that can lead to some unforeseen circumstances that especially as we age, that we don't need to be exposed to. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, Calvin, in a matter of months, I'll be 70 years old. And let's see, when is my birthday? what month, what year? You know, 70. And, you know, I don't remember things you know, as easily as I once did. I find myself sometimes going upstairs to get something. And by the time I get upstairs, I'm like, hey, what did I come up here for? And then as I may start going back downstairs, it pops back to me why I went upstairs in the first place. You start getting worried about, hey, I used to have a sharp recall. I used to remember everything. And this is just not me. This is all of us. And if we've had loved ones who have suffered the scourge of dementia or Alzheimer's, and you are 70 or more, and you start forgetting little things, we start getting terrified. We start believing and thinking that it won't be long, as we saw our loved ones go through this horror, that that'll be us. But as I was reading this article about the aging process in the brain and all those different things, and you hear dementia and Alzheimer's, you know, there's 6 million Americans currently that have dementia. It's not a very large number when you think of how many Americans there are. But we hear dementia and we become paralyzed with fear. And I understand why. But when should we start worrying? If as I said before, you go upstairs and you forgot what you went upstairs for, and now you got to come back down, and then, oh, and you go back up. Is that a sign? What is the sign? And what's normal forgetfulness? And what is a sign that you really need to see someone? Is there a way to catch this early? I know that we now live at a time when our government and the medical system, society, has created some medication that I don't know if it's on the market yet, but it soon will be. The Food and Drug Administration, whether or not they have said yay to this new dementia and Alzheimer's medication, which clearly is going to cost, you know, an astronomical amount of money. But when should we start worrying about it? And should little things? So I look at things kind of from this perspective. And, you know, I'm not a scientist. Who am I? A lowly talk show host who is limited in knowledge. Because there's so much to know. Anybody who thinks they know it all, I have to shake my head. It's too much to know to think you know it all. I clearly don't know. And when it comes to this area, I have to rely on others who really have the knowledge. And so here's kind of one of the measuring sticks, I would say, at least for me. You know, as a young child, the brain itself, I mean, sometimes I think we just forget the power of the brain. Because the brain, doesn't matter whether it's a child's brain or whether it's, you know, an older person's brain. A child's brain is a sponge. And that's why when there's, you know, a child, the brain is encompassing everything. I mean, it's a calculator. Every second, once it comes into the world, it is starting to take in all of this knowledge. And the younger that brain is, the more powerful it is. And the ability to learn is easier when it's a young child almost than it is when we are older. Why? Because everything is new. The brain's not littered with a bunch of garbage. And so it's taking in all of this knowledge. So listen, we're gonna carry this conversation over. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show, 540 AM WAUK here in Waukesha. Time for news, weather, and sports. The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Now, Calvin, what were we talking about? What were we talking about, man?
We were talking about losing your memory as you get older.
Oh, that's what we were talking about. Oh, okay. Thank you. But anyway, listen, this is a serious subject. It clearly is. You know, before we, talk about the news and weather, I was talking about the brain itself and why it's so important. You know, they say that the best time, I see some kids in some of the schools, man, they've got these Montessori schools, Calvin, in immersion, French, German immersion schools and other things. And the belief is that children can learn these different languages at the same time they're being taught English, because the brain is such a sponge that the best time to teach those things is while they're very young. And so they've got these schools where kids are being taught those things at the same time that they're learning the ABCs and those things, and they had the capacity to learn all of those different things. And so, you know, you just get to a point where if people only knew those things, Calvin, do you know what percentage of our brains we use in our lifetime?
I don't.
10%. 10% is all that we use of our brains in our lifetimes. We don't know the power of our brains because we never test it. And so we wind up, even the brightest of us, use 10% of the full capacity of what the brain is. Let's do this. Let's go to a guy who, listen, you don't measure a brain by the physical size of it, Al. So, you know, oh, Al's got a big brain. Oh, well, that's kind of not how we or how they measure the brain. Hey, Al, what's going on, man? Al from Milwaukee. How you doing, man?
I thought you were calling me. You said the brightest.
Hey, no, I was calling you because I knew you had a big brain. Hey, but you don't measure the power of the brain by its physical size.
No, but see, you're talking about dementia. Dementia is when people get confused and they can't recall things.
Right.
The brain is a sponge. It is. You got to understand that we absorb information all the time. It's not about having it. It's about recalling it.
Right.
I teach classes, and a lot of times I'm talking about one thing, and someone will mention something that will make me recall things from 20, 30, 40 years ago. And, you know, I would never have thought about those things if not someone mentioned something that related to it. But the point is, you know, that's the deal. Computers are made based upon the human brain. And people have to look at it that way. Your brain is a computer, but it's much bigger than anything you could ever dream of because it has a storage capacity that nobody knows the limits to. The point is, can you recall the information when you need it?
You know, Al, you know, you hit it out of the park because the American people and people in general don't know those things. And so the older we get, Al, the more junk that we take in and store, and junk that doesn't, you know, mean a whole lot. Like, you know, I watched some of it, the so-called NBA All-Star game last night. Junk. I took in some junk. And so, you know, well, they scored 211 points, the most points ever scored. And so it was clearly for entertainment. It's in my head, but it's junk. So the older we get, Al, the more junk we've taken in. And so it interferes with the stuff that's important. So if you go, Al, you ever go and forget your keys?
I forget my keys, but see, Earl, you got to think about you were a coach. So was I. Many times we create plans and strategies to do things in the game, and we see different things happening, and we change our minds, but at the same time, we forgot some of the stuff that we planned to do.
No question.
And, you know, when you are dealing with multiple subjects and task at the same time, some of it goes to the back and some comes to the forefront, and you forget things. You leave your keys, you can set them down, but your mind is on something
else
at that time, and you're looking all over the place. I know I put my keys down here, but no, you didn't. You left them where you left them, and then you take something else to recall them. And my wife and I go through that all the time because she always in. Well, go look in the car where you had your keys last, and that's where they're going to be. And that's where they are. They're still sitting in the ignition.
You know, Al, and the most important thing you said is that we're doing so many different things, and we've got our minds planned for the day and all the different activities if you're an active person like you and I are. And so you've got all these different things on your mind and on your plate, and you're trying to organize all those different aspects of the life that you live, and then you forget your keys. But as you stated, there are people who think that forgetting those keys is the first step of them, you know, dementia or Alzheimer's, and it's not the case. And so that's one of the things that I kind of wanted to, if we leave people with anything in this discussion this morning, Al, it is that's not, you know, that's kind of acceptable as we age. The brain itself ages as well. And, you know, it doesn't remain as vibrant as it was, you know, when you were a kid. And so it's, you know, Al, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. Your thoughts.
Hey, Earl. Good morning. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, not the corporation. So I hope everyone realizes that. Second, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I think that, you know, kids as young as 20 years old nowadays forget things because there's so much stimuli coming at them, whether it is social media, whether it is, you know, just everyday media. I think actually the more active you are, the more your brain actually is healthier. And I don't care if that's when you're 20 or if that's when you're 80, because I think what ends up happening, that's why I don't understand if we use 10% of our brain, how much more, where, if people are getting all this information thrown at them, how is it that the brain is supposed to process, you know, what's going on? I mean, I think one thing, like Al was just saying, as an example, I have ADHD. I've had ADHD since I was a young kid. And because of that, my mind is traveling 10,000 miles an hour, whether I like it or not. A little medication maybe helps with that. But honestly, that's where some of the creativity comes from, is from having the ADHD. And it's a positive thing. But the one thing I do know is that, you know, like I have this thing where, okay, I'm going to put something in a special place. Instead of putting it just in the routine place, it's something special. So I put it in a special place, and that's usually where I can't find something. So the more routine that I am with the keys and all that kind of stuff. But again, I've been doing that since I was 10 years old. I used to say, where are my shoes?
So Tom, let me say this. This is what Dr. Ragfin, a PhD, had to say. As we get older, our bodies change. And that includes the squishy stuff between our ears. The brain shrinks. Blood flow to the region decreases. Hormones shift. And suddenly you're struggling to recall the name of that person who got kicked out of the dorm freshman year. Clearly, the older we get, the less our brains are able to function at as high a level as they will when you're very young. And so I do know, I've noticed the difference in, you know, as I've aged, that some of these things are a lot more difficult for me to recall than they clearly were when I was a younger man.
Don't you think, though, as an example, like my long-term memory is excellent. It's more my short-term memory that is. I can remember things that I did when I was, you know, 7 or 8 years old, because I see everything kind of like a movie. If it happened like a movie type of situation where I met somebody or whatever it might be. Now, if you're playing a game like Heads Up and you're trying to explain who the celebrity is or whatever it might be, that might be a little bit harder to like recall. But I just think there's just so much stimulus. Now, I don't know if anybody agrees with me, but I think there's so much stimulus coming at us. And I think, honestly, when you have, I mean, you know, look at as an example, a Donald Trump who's about brain dead. And then you look at a Joe Biden where they say that Joe Biden is not very He's losing a little bit. I would say absolutely the opposite. The man, maybe on the outside, is a certain way, but inside, all the stuff and all the stimuli and everything that he's dealing with, and how we haven't ended up, you know, with a economy that has gone to the tubes. I mean, he's doing a hell of a good job.
Well, you know, Tom, as I said when I was starting out this subject, I'm going to be 70, and so I'm comparing the things that I, you know, my memory and those kind of things from the time I was a young man. I'm not a young man anymore. And, you know, so I do know that there's been some change, as there will be with all of us, because none of us were made to live forever. And so there's going to be some decline. That's understandable. But, you know, whether or not we panic with that decline is the issue. 844, thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789. Hang on. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Is the number. You tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We're checking out our minds. Let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you. Cindy, how's your mind?
Good morning, Earl. It just doesn't seem fair that our brain shrinks as we get older, because our teeth get longer, our ears get bigger, our nose gets bigger, our waistline gets bigger.
Hey, our
so,
bottoms.
You know, why is this fair?
Our bottoms get bigger.
Yeah, our bottoms drop off.
Hey, gravity takes over. Our eyelids, our eyes bag, you know, it's the evil consequences of time.
That our brains just shrink. So. Yeah. I just thought I'd lighten this up a little bit. So,
well, you did. Thank you very much. Hey, and some other things drop as well. Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Karina. Good morning to you, Karina. How you doing?
Good. Good morning, Earl. Well, you know what? Besides the and shrinkage and everything in the brain, there is a couple other things we have. First of all, especially in America, we have a lot of glutens, what are not good for you.
Right.
And they produce a lot of inflammation, besides the point where you are in stress, and we are all stressed. And very often you would hear from doctor, your brain chemistry is off. well, what is this? It's actually an inflammation. So for these reasons, we do have several very good therapies which are proven to be moving dementia. It's almost like a prevention for dementia, but it more of to curb your internal inflammation, because your body is actually constantly fighting for it and using the resources. And there is another thing. There is also the unit, what we use all in our body for energy. It's called ATP. There's a whole group of disease what attached to that ATP when the people do not have internal energy. Like you compare our brain to computer, and then imagine that you have a whole new computer and everything, but you don't have anything. You don't have it to stick into something and get the electricity. So that is also one of the things what people should look at it. So level of your energy and how your ATP is doing, because it's the oldest and very important energy in every single cell of your body.
You know,
and inflammation level.
You know, Karina, certainly you can take antioxidants, omega-3 fatty acids. You hear about these things. I've heard about those things. I never knew the connection between those particular things and your brain. But there are ways that you can kind of stave off the inevitable. And so we need to, as you stated, kind of take in all these different things and realize that, you don't have to totally forget everything, right? I mean, there are some things you can do. And again, forgetting your keys is not the end of it, and it doesn't mean that you're headed down a slippery slope.
No, it doesn't matter, because it depends on the level of your stress. I remember when I was married, I was doing laundry and cooking at the same time. And the next morning, my ex-husband couldn't find his underwear. So we're looking around. We can't find it. She's like, you didn't do the laundry. I'm like, right. I just throw them away. What did I do? Just go buy new underwear and go to work. What am I supposed to do? And so in the evening, we're all coming home, and I'm opening up the freezer. And here you go. On the shelf, very nicely, frozen underwear.
That's very funny, Karina. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great. I'm going to be 74 this year, and I had the opportunity in 1970 to work with some brilliant doctors. And one of the things that they were dealing with when the doctors was cognitive decline. And so we started working with people from various sectors of society. And one of the things that we did find out, which people did not listen to, but alcohol has a detrimental effect on you.
Yes.
And even if you are drinking one drink a day, it has effect on you very much. And they considered actually drinking one drink a day as an alcoholic. Another thing that was contributed to the cognitive decline of today's American people are the drugs that they took. And as much as we can use marijuana as a municipal drug to help through cancer patients and different types of mental health issues, people who use it on a daily basis, it has a chemistry change in your body. We found that different chemistry changes in the body with the foods, some of the foods that we ate, and of course drugs and alcohol, had a terrible effect on our brain power, and especially as we aged out. Now, myself personally, like I say, I'm 74. I know that I do have decline. I'm not like I was when I was 20 or 30 years old, but I eliminated all alcohol. I eliminated all drugs of any sort. I don't even take aspirin or anything unless I absolutely have to.
Well, listen, that's great, Susan. You are doing very well. Enjoy you chiming in as much as you do. Thank you very much for those important that important information. 844-967-2789. News, weather, and sports.
Check out your mic. 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 Check out your mic.
Shaw, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.